minutes, and we're even going to take some calls a little bit later, we are joined by the Brigadier General, retired now, and she was the head of all of the prisons and detainment facilities, 17 of them at the time, in Iraq, 3,400 soldiers, and she's Janice Barpinski. And when she started refusing to be scapegoated and started pointing out the military intelligence and the 205 Military Intelligence Brigade was in control of every wing in every prison where this stuff was going on, where the torture was going on, when she wouldn't fall on her sword and commit Harry Caray when she hadn't done anything, Lord Bush, the silver spoon creature, fell on forced her to be broken down to a colonel. And it makes me so angry. And she's written a new book, and we're going to tell you about it, One Woman's Army, and it's in most finer bookstores now. We'll tell you how to get it online at Amazon.com and more about the book as she now joins us. And, General, it's really good to have you on with us today.
And it is great to be with you. It's a privilege. Thank you very much.
For those that don't know, I mean, we have General Tagumbu's own report. I mean, it's admitted, raping, pouring acid on people. The photos we've seen are the tip of the iceberg. But then, day one, I knew that even at Camp X-Ray, you know, Brigadier General Rick Baucus refused to torture, so he got kicked out as well. So you're among a lot of other company, and now that's finally broken on major TV shows like Frontline. But we reported on it 2 years ago. I mean, this is going on. For those that don't know, the torture is admitted, but we know that even in Guantanamo Bay, there is a CIA base within the base. That's where the torture goes on. And can you break this down and basically go through what happened and how they tried to scapegoat you?
Well, I guess we'll never know until they're willing to admit, and they never will, but we can speculate as to why they wanted to scapegoat me, and there's every reason to believe that those reasons are valid. But it started when we were assigned this new mission for detention operations. We were basically sold a false bill of goods. They told us that we were going to Baghdad, that we were going to receive support from the CJTF-7, General Sanchez's headquarters, and from Ambassador Bremer at the Coalition Provisional Authority, that we would be working with these prisons experts at the Coalition Provisional Authority to work towards restoring Iraqi jails and prisons to turn it back over to the Iraqi control. To arrive in Baghdad to discover that they had just begun to identify some locations. They had a list of 121 prisons that they wanted to restore and that they wanted us to run. And I told them I didn't have nearly that number of resources. I could run about 15. We settled on 17, and they were responsible for providing the funding to restore those prisons and renovate those prisons. That was very slow in coming, only to discover after those contractors left that most of the contract work that had been allegedly done and paid for was, in fact, never done. So we had MPs that were running these facilities, very, very austere conditions. The prisons that were restored were done to the minimal standards. In one case, the contractors put the hinges on the insides of the prison doors, so the prisoners took all the hinge pins out and were waiting outside in the courtyard and scared the Iraqi guards away, and the MPs had to go back in and regain control of the prison facility. But Abu Ghraib was never intended to be a permanent prison or detention operation. It was used as an interim facility, largely because there was real estate available inside the 20-foot-high retaining wall, which was the first line of defense, for us to establish temporary camps, prisoner of war camps. If there was still a war going on, this would have been much like a prisoner of war camp. It was never an ideal location of any kind for detention operations, let alone interrogation operations, as it ultimately became.
General, we're talking to Brigadier General Janice Karpinski, now retired, and Lord Bush bust her down to colonel when she started going public about a year ago, refusing to go along with this fraud. I mean, specifically, let's get into the separation of duties. Once you guys are in there, you're overloaded, 3,400 troops. That's with security. A lot of your prisons and facilities are under daily bombardment by rockets, grenades, snipers, bombings. And on top of this, I didn't specifically, because, you know, obviously you were there and commanding this, how the military intelligence took over and cloistered and kind of sequestered their own little reservations within your reservations.
The military intelligence brigade commander relocated to Abu Ghraib after one of his soldiers, two of his soldiers were killed in a RPG attack out at the prison facility. He was visiting one night, only intended to spend one or two nights out there. There was an attack, and two of his soldiers were killed. And shortly after that, he made the decision to relocate to Abu Ghraib. And he had about six interrogation teams, which then became about a dozen interrogation teams. And these were military interrogators. These were soldiers who were serving as interrogators. They were following their regulations, their doctrine. We had a very small number of prisoners that needed to be interrogated. They were mostly Iraqi criminals, nonviolent crimes, looting, missing curfew, a weapon in the trunk of the car, whatever it may have been.
Well, that's what the Army's other report said. It said that between 75% and 90% were totally innocent and just hadn't had their papers in order.
That's correct. And it remains so, I believe it remains so today, because they're still doing these raids, these roundups, where they'll go out and target an individual, and whoever happens to be around that individual, they bring them all in. And then there's no way, there's no avenue to release them. Once they're tagged as security detainees, they fall into this relatively new and unsupervised category. And when you had this departure from detention operations and following the rules to control of detention operations by a military intelligence commander, you have a complete departure from anything other than chaos as far as who's in charge, who can give me orders, who can instruct me.
What was it like having somebody under you, though, that, I mean, I've heard the stories of, you know, Delta Force commanding generals around. Mm-hmm. What was it like having somebody under you basically telling you what to do?
Well, Colonel Pappas never worked for me. He was never in my chain of command.
So he just basically did whatever he wanted.
He absolutely. When it came to interrogations, he answered to General Fast, who was the intelligence officer at the headquarters, and to General Sanchez, who was the commander. He didn't report any of his interrogation findings through me. In fact, the one time that one of his captains, when we had this first raid that was conducted and they brought in about 37 security detainees, within about 36 hours, they had interviewed all of them and said that the majority of them were available for release. When I briefed that evening at the nightly update, I was told by General Wojciechowski, the deputy commander, not to release anybody. And who gave me those instructions? And I said they weren't instructions. It was a list. The interrogator said they were eligible to be released and were ready to release them. And they're of no further intel value. He said, you are not to release anybody. And then he got the captain and read him the riot act about not releasing anybody. And there started the pattern of holding largely innocent people.
General, you know, we've got you for the rest of this hour, and my mind's just spinning. I mean, there's so much I want to talk about. I want to talk about what happened in there, how they kept you guys out of it, then how they tried to blame you with it when their own documents show you weren't even allowed in there. You know, all of this going on. And then we've got Alberto Gonzalez writing memos that then the Pentagon uses, giving orders to their own little subgroups under Black Ops. And then they send people to prison for following orders, even in their own groups.
Right.
And, I mean, it's just, there's so many facets to this.
And they're all bad.
Yes.
We can trace back to through documents that were released under court order, we can trace back to the original document, the one that Alberto Gonzalez reviewed and discussed with the President of the United States, a departure from the Geneva Conventions. These are not prisoners. These are terrorists. And these techniques will be more effective. And then Secretary Rumsfeld putting his signature on a document authorizing more aggressive techniques, harsher techniques during interrogation. That document goes down to Guantanamo Bay and over to Afghanistan, and it's used perhaps first in small groups, and then it's used at Guantanamo Bay as a standard practice.
And well, specifically, General, we've got a break, but what about private contractors inside Abu Ghraib and other areas? Because we've seen the reports that they were in there, too.
Absolutely. And when you ask private contractors to do anything related to combat operations, you're already heading down a very dangerous path.
We're talking about mercenaries, but now mercenary interrogators I remember sitting in an L.A. hotel room watching Rumsfeld going, we've taken the gloves off. We're really pressuring them. And laughter in the military briefing.
Right.
I mean, this was all publicly encouraged. And then they can send people to prison while they don't get in trouble. I just can't figure that out. General, this is amazing. We've got a break. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. And then we'll continue. Just any areas, directions you want to go in, tell us, because this is such a wide field. We'll be right back. We're talking to General Janice Karpinski.
Attention drivers. Poor fuel quality is on its way to your local gas station. Due to fuel shortages, the EPA has relaxed environmental standards. On top of that, fuel refiners have reduced detergents in fuel by 50% over the last 5 years. Poor fuel restricts injectors and deposits build up in your car's combustion chambers. What does this mean for your vehicle? Poor mileage and reduced performance in a time of record fuel prices. There is an answer. Protecta Complete Fuel System Treatment cleans injectors and combustion chambers to 95% of new and only one tank full. Plus, a special mileage improver designed and fleet tested by a major oil company to improve mileage even on new cars by up to 4%. The mileage improvement lasts for an entire oil change. So quit wasting unburned fuel and get more when you treat your car right with Protecta. Go to www.sfrcorp.com for a free shipping offer. That's sfrcorp.com or call 888-USE-SFR1. That's 888-873-7371.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Here it is, folks, the 2006 Red Book, the most comprehensive edition ever published. Midas Resources believes our clients should be as informed as possible. It includes a history of U.S. coins, the actual mintages, the grading standards. Learn the stability of real money. Protect yourself from fiat currencies. They are instruments of debt. Feel the comfort and safety of real money. Midas will send you the 2006 Red Book and a genuine silver dollar for just $22.95 delivered. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237. Don't be lost in a sea of confusion. Get the 2006 Red Book. Help steer your own financial ship. Call Midas now, 1-800-686-2237.
Government is best which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at LibertyStickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community.
I never voted for a war criminal. Have you?
Real conservatives hate Bush.
Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626.
If only our president would listen to his God.
Draft Jenna Bush.
Osama bin Forgotten.
Go to libertystickers.com and express your freedom of speech today.
Folks, I want you to think about the magnitude of the defections. Last week we had Ray McGovern, number five in the CIA, who briefed Ronald Reagan, who briefed George Bush Sr., coming right out on air saying Bush may carry out terror attacks because he's in so much trouble to keep his war going, that our own government might pull something. I mean, that's how out in the open all this is getting. That's how many whistleblowers there are. Ron Paul, Republican congressman, saying the government may be preparing for a coup d'etat, for martial law. I mean, that's how Twilight Zone things have gotten. And here we are talking to Brigadier General Janice Karpinski in her new book, One Woman's Army. You talk about courage. You know, at first they were blaming her, and people said, oh, she's the one. I got on air, remember? And I said, folks, these areas are under military intelligence control. They're CIA interrogators. It's the same thing at Camp X-Ray. They have a CIA base within a base. This is pure bull. And later that did come out. I'm not tooting my horn. We knew how they were doing this. General, I mean, let's go right down the line here. We have the documents. We know where these orders to do this torture came from.
Came right from the top, filtered all the way down through the Secretary of Defense with the endorsement of the President, the Vice President, whatever advisors are surrounding him, and filtered down through the commanders in the field. These practices were not only endorsed, but were in use at Guantanamo Bay and in locations in Afghanistan. And when General Miller visited Iraq, he carried those techniques with him and taught the interrogators on site how to be more effective in their interrogations. And then he sent contract interrogators and people he knew, military people he knew who had performed well down at Guantanamo Bay, he sent them to Iraq as well.
So really we had kind of torture seminars going on.
Yes, everywhere except in Abu Ghraib. Because General Miller must have thought that his discussions with the Military Intelligence Brigade commander were effective enough for him to understand that he could do anything he needed to do to get actionable intelligence from the prisoners.
Now, you know, they talk about how they went after Grainer and England and others because they had photos, but you point out in your book why then, who took the pictures and why did that happen? And then on top of it, if Congress has seen over 2,000 photos and over 100 videos of raping women, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about savage Joseph Mengele type stuff, even underage people. I mean, if this is going on, then why haven't all those people been indicted?
Because they needed a group of people to call the scapegoat. They needed to scapegoat people that, and they must have believed naively that they were going to take the punishment, go to jail, and be quiet, that they would never go out and hire their own attorneys or representatives for themselves in their own cases. They certainly believed that I was going to be quiet, that I was just going to take what they were accusing me of and go back home to the United States after my deployment.
Now, this was in the press. The first you heard of it was
right
when the investigation was already going, and you'd never even been in that area of the prison.
That's correct. I didn't hear about this from the people that you would think I should hear it from, General Sanchez or his intelligence officer, General Fast. I heard about this in an email late at night from the commander of the Criminal Investigation Division. And his agent on site at Abu Ghraib is the one who actually received the disc of pictures, the initial disc, from the MP. And he called the commander, and they opened an investigation. So when I got the email that mentioned an ongoing investigation, that was on the 12th of January of 2004. That was the first I heard of any investigation.
You're the commanding officer,
yes,
of all the prisons, and you don't even know about it.
That's correct. They kept me out of the loop on purpose.
How is the military supposed to operate? I mean, no military has ever done this. Hitler was really the first to have the SS separate from the mainline army, and it was disastrous.
And this was disastrous as well. You take a prison location that was never a good location for any kind of detention operations. It was being mortared every night. It was in the middle of the Sunni Triangle. And now you take this operation and you put it under the control of the military intelligence, and their objective is completely different than the objective of a military police soldier. and they know how to treat prisoners humanely and fairly, and they did so in every facility where they were running detention operations. The only breach was at cell block 1A and 1B out at Abu Ghraib under the control of the military intelligence brigade.
Well, I read about where they would go get prison guards, federal prison guards with bad records,
right,
and actually hire them. They were actually scouting for sickos.
Well, there is a, and not only the prisons experts that were hired, we were supposed to have about 80 of them down at the Coalition Provisional Authority. There was three, and then one of them got fired. And these are U.S. contractors. Of course, they didn't share the information about their previous positions with us, but after we returned, we found out that...
General, we got a break. Tell us after the break.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Hey, Jack Blood here from Deadline Live. You know, it seems people will steal anything and everything you have. If you have a house with some equity, a car, a truck, RV, there was someone looking for a way to rip it off. And what about those government agencies? You know, the ones, those alphabet agencies. Did you know that they get raises, promotions, and bonuses based on what they see? And they can do it without due process. This is how the establishment has been attaining real wealth for centuries. And now you can learn the secrets that the elite have used for generations. Wealth-hiding secrets of the elite are exposed in this best-selling book, Bulletproof Asset Protection. Find out how you can make it look like you have no equity in your property, or make it look like you own no property, and a whole lot more. Order the book and DVD now for one low price. Get Bulletproof Asset Protection now. Call them 888-240-3337. And that's 888-240-3337. Or go to assetprotectionteam.com. Tell them you heard it on GCN.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using the Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free 866-885-6625. 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We've got the general for about 30 more minutes. Really honored to have her. She's the Brigadier General who ran the prisons and camps in Iraq, General Janice Karpinski. Her new book, One Woman's Army, and it's in bookstores everywhere. You need to get it. In fact, I just got my copy a few days ago that the publisher mailed me. It's excellent. I haven't read the whole thing, and I've read about three chapters. But we need to support people that are bold and tell the truth. And they didn't expect her to go public. That's where we had left off when we went to break. I guess they expected you to be spineless like all the others.
You know, there's an increasing number, and it's a great concern to me personally and professionally, because I saw senior officers in Iraq who were more concerned about the political ramifications of their decisions than they were about the leadership or moral decisions, ramifications. They would were hesitant to go against what anything that Secretary Rumsfeld was putting out, because he had proven if you don't agree with him, you'll find yourself on the street. You'll find yourself without a position. So there is no backbone anymore that, you know, we've become very famous for in the military. We have the strongest military in the world, but our leaders are now afraid. They're afraid to voice their opinions. They're afraid to state their opinions, and they're afraid to say, no, you're wrong.
Well, even their general, even their Enron crony, their darling Army Secretary White, who was an insider with these guys, he said, look, the generals say 400,000 troops. We're going to fail. It's what all the RAND Corporation says. And they said, you're out of there, buddy.
And that's what they did to General Shinseki as well. He went back to Secretary Rumsfeld twice, and he said, we need more than 300,000 soldiers if we're going to do this right. And the second time he went back to him, he said, well, then I guess you don't understand me, and I don't need you. And he brought in his own team. And General Shinseki was, for all practical purposes, a lame duck for months until he retired.
It's amazing, though, that, I mean, when they get unanimous data from the people that know how to fight wars and know how to get the power back on and help a civilian population, they just, you know, I'm sure you've seen the Karl Rove quote where he says, we control reality, we make reality. I mean, they really are delusional.
You want to see reality? Go to Baghdad. That's reality. Walk the ground where the soldiers are walking. That's reality. This nonsense about running, and this is what happened with the CJTF-7 headquarters. The officers on General Sanchez's staff were trying to run the war from their laptop computers. They didn't go out and walk the ground that the soldiers were walking. They didn't see what the soldiers were facing every day. They were trying to run the war from their laptop computers. They were afraid to go out in the middle of the hostilities, but they had no problem sending any of us out to do that work.
So we've gone from George Washington at Trenton charging into the German soldiers himself with bullets flicking through his hat to generals cowering in armored compounds.
Exactly. You want to know where the armored vehicles were and they weren't out on the road with the soldiers? They were protecting the spokesperson for General Sanchez. They were parked on the confines of Camp Victory, so in case any of those officers had to take a 20-minute journey somewhere across the road to the airport, they'd be in an up-armored vehicle. And soldiers were paying the price for that.
But they don't care. They'll just have a neocon get on the radio and say they've got plenty of armored vehicles when I've got family over there, and they still don't.
What are these letters we're getting back home? What are these soldiers saying? Are they all wrong? Are they all making this up? When a soldier stands up and says to the Secretary of Defense, why don't we have the right equipment if you want us to do this the right way and survive? And he says, well, we go to war with the army we have, not necessarily the one that we want. And it's never addressed again. The person who stopped the orders for additional armored equipment and armored vehicles is today a four-star general and is in the Pentagon and is serving as the acting chief of staff of the Army.
Well, the FBI agents that blocked Robert Wright and Kathleen Rowley and others who specifically, you know, had the documents and knew who the hijackers were, according to the official story, they all got demoted or removed or fired, but the people that blocked them have all been promoted.
See how it works? You play the game, you go along with whatever's being spun by the neocons or by the Pentagon, and you get promoted. But the people who have the strength and the moral courage to stand up and say, this is wrong, this is a lie, they're removed from their positions, they take their security clearances away, and then they're out on the street. And that's a big message to be sending throughout the force. You cross the Secretary of Defense, and you're out on the street.
But if I was a Secretary of Defense, I would want the real intel. I would want to know what was really going on. I would want to know what the trained warfighters were saying instead of this delusional la-la. I mean, just because I think something doesn't make it so.
Or just because you repeat a lie often enough doesn't make it the truth. But you've already started down that road. If you stop this train, which is what they need to do realistically, they need to stop this train and say, wait, clean the slate. We need to get to the truth, and we need to get there now.
But I mean, how obvious is it when we got the memo saying, with these Orwellian terms, I mean, these are public, Well, we can torture somebody to death, and if we don't mean to kill them and we don't call it torture, it isn't torture. I mean, torturing people to death, folks, and this happens all the time. And then the Congress, 90-9, the Senate says no more torture. You've got to follow the manual. You've got to follow the law, the regulations. And then Bush says, no, I'm going to veto that. I mean, he's sending people to prison. Little nothings like England and Grainer, who are obviously psychopaths. But the point is, they're sending them to prison for following their degenerate orders of the handlers that were in there controlling them, that took the photos, that thought it was cute. Meanwhile, Bush is on TV saying, "I'm going to veto. We're going to torture."
Right. What are they afraid of? Why? I mean, that. Why do we have to have a new law that says we're not going to torture or abuse? That's what the Geneva Conventions are supposed to be about. Why do we have to have a law? I think it's a step in the right direction.
But General, even the Soviets didn't admit they tortured. Hitler didn't admit they tortured. I'm sorry for interrupting, but it seems we've reached a new level here where they even admit it now.
Well, exactly. Because there's overwhelming proof that it's not only been going on, but it's been directed and is likely continuing even to this day. I don't want to believe that it is, but the statements from people that are just returning from the theater give every indication that, in fact, it is. They still don't know where to draw the lines.
General, why is the torture so perverted?
Well, I think to me, when they use particularly women, this sexual overtones, using a woman to try to get an Iraqi man to or a Muslim man to break and to give them information, this is insulting and humiliating not only to the female that they're using to do the interrogation, but they're getting some kind of bizarre sense of pleasure. The interrogators are watching this whole thing take place.
I know this is something out of a horror movie. Naked women putting. I mean, I hate to use this, but yet we have to. Menstrual fluids on men? I mean, this is...
Exactly. And who studied the Arab culture to come up with such an idea? I mean, this is insulting to anybody.
But, I mean, if I made a horror movie where the military was doing this, people wouldn't believe it. It's so bizarre.
It is bizarre. And to the fact that they're using female soldiers to conduct this is demonstrates what they're thinking about the likely role for women in the military.
Well, listen, if they told me in the military, go in there and do something to a woman, you can go to hell.
Exactly. And I think the majority of soldiers that are serving today would do exactly that. They'd say, hold on a second, I am not going to do that. And they could threaten your career, they could do anything they needed to, but I would take the same position. Oh, no, I'm not. And that's why they took every effort to keep me away from getting any information about what was going on.
And then they tried to burn you because you had been investigating it.
That's right. And because I would have objected, I would have complained to the top level, I never would have allowed this to take place.
What was the breaking point? I mean, when did you decide to not roll over and fight them?
When I was down in Kuwait and I was waiting for, I spoke to General Taguba in the conference room down in Kuwait, and he had six other men in the room with him. Excuse me. And when he was asking me questions and he was insisting, and I was holding my ground, I said, no, I was not in charge. No, I did not know this was going on. No, these soldiers are not derelict in the performance of their duties. I explained every single question that he presented to me. And when I saw the results of his investigation, or from that interview, and he had the nerve to say that I was emotional during that, well, I wasn't the one with tears coming out of my eyes at the end of the interview. It was him and his six comrades, because they knew what they were doing was wrong, and they knew that they were going to be called to accuse me for things that clearly I was not responsible
for.
Well,
that's encouraging, though, that they were crying, because that means they've still got souls, at least.
Well, one would hope, but I didn't see any evidence.
So they were feeling pretty guilty trying to railroad you. They knew that this was a compartmentalized operation, and that's now public, folks.
Absolutely, and not only that, but General Taguba was not instructed to investigate the photographs from cell block 180.
But even his report admits raping, acid, all of this.
Yes, but he still held the MPs from the 800th MP Brigade responsible, because he said his instructions were to were limited to the 800th MP Brigade. So he had to turn over the investigation for a subsequent investigation by General Fay, who looked into the military intelligence.
Did you tell him I'm going to fight this propaganda?
I did. I told General McKiernan when he made the decision that I should not be reprimanded, that I should not be relieved, and he allowed me to go back to the United States, and that was in April of 2004. I told him that we needed, when I got back to the States, it was my intent to, at least have an after-action review and make sure none of this ever happened again. And he said to me as I was leaving his office, there's a great future for Janice Karpinski in the Army Reserves. He was the commander in the theater. By the time I got back to the United States and the pictures were released, the chief of the Army Reserves is now using the Taguba Report as the sacred document and is suspending me and ultimately relieving me from command. And he has never spoken a word to me since I've been back in the United States.
Now, let's talk about wargaming. Folks, we're talking to a lady of such incredible courage. You can hear the genuineness, but I don't go off of that. I don't, just go off of my discernment. I have researched this. We've done 50 shows on this. It's the same thing at Camp X-Ray.
Right.
They sequester, they cloister. The regular Army, the regular Marines are not even allowed into these areas. Then they got the nerve to try to blame people that had no connection to it and that didn't go along with it. So that really makes me mad. But let's talk about war games. We know they say Iraq is a laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
We know they say that these prisons are laboratories, that Afghanistan is. And they send these cadres around making larger cadres. I think it's pretty clear that we are seeing the cold-blooded formation of a torture corps and that these cadres are being expanded. I mean, is that frightening to you? Does that concern you? Or do you agree with my statement that they're forming a large torture corps?
I don't know if they'll be so bold as to call it that, but yes. I agree with you, and it makes me shudder when I think about it, because they took some contract interrogators to Iraq. They took some contract interrogators and put them at Abu Ghraib, testing to see what the response of the prisoners would be, testing, more importantly, to see what the response of soldiers would be to those interrogators taking over a military function. So now we know that that's an encroachment. We know the quality of some of the contractors that were down at the Coalition Provisional Authority. Some of them had been fired from previous assignments, specifically at prisons, and they were fired for allegations of abuse of prisoners. In one case, it caused the death of a prisoner. So there's this encroachment, and
actually scouring the planet for scum.
Yes, for people who have this kind of mindset, who can live with themselves while they're going forth in this global war on terrorism and trying to make a difference. But, it's important to understand that even the McCain bill that was passed by overwhelming victory, 90-9, it's limited to the military. For people who are subject to the UCMJ.
We need a law on contractors on everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, let me ask a question. If somebody kidnaps a woman and goes and rapes her, I mean, is his defense going to be, hey, I was just blowing off steam, like Rush Limbaugh said, and torture's no big deal?
I thought she was a terrorist.
Yeah.
I was trying to get information from her.
I mean, let's think about this, folks. Since when is beating people to death and raping someone's wife in front of them because their papers weren't in order at a checkpoint because the fat slob just wants to rape somebody? Since when is that what Americans do?
Since never. We don't do those kind of things. We're better than this.
General, what would you like to see happen? I mean, obviously, I think Gonzalez and any general who we have paper trails on, knowingly part of this, I think they all need to go to prison.
Well, I'll tell you something. The inspector general, who was not the inspector general for most of the investigation, the one who made the decision to clear General Sanchez, General Wojciechowski, General Fast, Colonel Warren, Colonel Pappas, and General Miller, was only there at the direction of Secretary Rumsfeld, and that was the first action he took was to release those findings. It says specifically in the IG report that actions I took or failed to take in no way contributed to the abuses at Abu Ghraib. But most people don't have access to the Inspector General's report or don't take the time to go look for it.
No, they really have besmirched your name.
Yes, they have. And then when they do a separate investigation on Guantanamo Bay, the recommendation is that they reprimand General Miller for letting interrogations get out of control, even though he was directed to do those things. And his boss said, no, I'm not going to reprimand him. And his boss just happened to be the former military aide to Secretary Rumsfeld.
So they all was just one of, they're all proving that their hands are dirty. I want people to think about this.
One is covering up the other for the other for the other.
I want people to think about the fact that our current attorney general, the supposed guy enforcing all these laws, is writing memos saying Bush is above the law and the law flows from him, saying he's an emperor. I mean, that's the actual memo, saying torture's good. I want people to realize that General Shoemaker is the guy who sent Delta Force in at Waco. I want people to know that they are now putting in a constellation, a gaggle of people that are willing to do this. I tell you, General, this scares. This is really scary.
Well, this scares me, too, and I agree with you, because they have rewritten the dictionary. There's a prisoner of war, and then there's an Iraqi detainee, or a prisoner, an Iraqi criminal. And then there's this category of security detainees that seem to be apart from any of the Geneva Conventions and not subject to the rules that military personnel have followed for years. Now you bring into that equation contractors who are not subject to the UCMJ or appear to be above the rules. So we haven't gotten it right yet, although the bill, unfortunately, moves in the right direction.
And now, well, at least it forced Bush to go public and say he's for torture. I mean, it really put the spotlight on these guys, but I just can't believe we're even having to sit here and debate this and talk about this, but they are being exposed. Our final segment with the general, I might take a call or two, but we're also going to plug your book, so get your pens and paper ready for that. We'll be right back on the other side. The websites are Infowars.com, Infowars.net, and PrisonPlanet.tv as we fight this tyranny. We'll be right back.
There is a secret that holds the world's destiny in its grasp. Hello, my friends. Alex Jones here. Learn that secret with my new film, Martial Law, 9/11 Rise of the Police State. Martial Law plumbs the depths of the New World Order's ideology, their philosophy. Out of the ashes of the September 11th tragedy, a dark empire of war and tyranny has risen. The Constitution has been shredded, and America is now a police state. This film exposes not just who was behind the 9/11 attacks, but the roots and history of its orchestrators. Martial Law is a blazing spotlight piercing the electronic Berlin wall of controlled corporate media. Plumb the depths of the elite's minds, their ideology, their driving philosophy, and uncover the power-mad cult of death that is sworn to turn the Earth into a prison planet. Discover the documented truth for yourself before it's too late. Call toll-free to get a copy of Martial Law. 1-888-253-3139. Or visit Infowars.com and the secure shopping cart. That's Infowars.com or 888-253-3139. Or watch the film right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
The Berkey Light is your premier source for purified water. It's portable and requires no water pressure, so you can enjoy healthy drinking water, whether it's during normal times or hostile environments like a local or national emergency.